I'm gonna be honest with you. Paul wanted us to realize, not just the Philippians, but he wanted us today. That's why we got the Word of God, amen, that we can study it and that we can grow in the Lord. He wanted us today to realize that we're in a Christian race.
Yeah.
We're pressing for the high calling of God. And that we need to be careful with false teachings because, listen, you can be fooled by that. You can be pulled away. You can lose the rewards that you might have had already.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you get off on the wrong foot.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people out there that will lead you astray. It's a shame that there's people that will do that, but they will. And they do it with a smile on their face.
Oh, yeah.
We were just talking about some of them this morning. Some of them on the TV evangelists, you know.
Yeah.
You give 1,000, you get 3-fold back.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Uh-huh. I told you about the one guy, he's got the cufflinks, and he's all spiffed up. He's got the 3-piece, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And he says, oh, I wanted a Corvette all my life. And God gave me one. And he said, and then immediately, he said, give it away. He said, I'm like, what? He said, I gave it to my neighbor. He said, the next morning I got up and there were 3 brand new Corvettes with my name on the title in the seat. You know what? He better enjoy those 3 Corvettes because what he's got waiting ain't good.
Amen.
They'll lead you astray with a smile on their face.
Yeah. Yeah.
It doesn't bother them a bit. They're getting your money. We're talking about that one guy. I won't say his name, Jesse something. He decided he needed another Learjet. He's already got one. He decided he needed another one, and his reasoning behind it was it will get him there 20 minutes quicker, and that's more souls that'll be saved.
Yeah.
No, that's more souls to be led astray. But do you know they bought it for him?
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking how many millions? Ridiculous, but people fall for it. They get off out there. And I'm not saying these people aren't saved.
Yeah.
These people that follow these guys, they really may know the Lord is their Savior. But when they get there, they're going to be like, well, what happened? They don't have nothing. Oh, they'll be in heaven, but they ain't going to have nothing. And people say, well, what is important about that? Well, we'll get there in a minute. You see, Paul wanted these people in Philippi to function as a church in unity.
Yeah.
A church in unity. The whole group was to function as a church in the unity, so that honestly they could accomplish more than if they had been working on their own.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Now, too many people, they want to work on their own, do it their own way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That ain't biblical.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
It's not biblical for me to go out here just off. Mom, it's okay. You want to go give $10,000 to the Shriners Hospital? Well, I think there's somewhere better to do it. But nonetheless, go give it to them. But that ain't what the Lord told us. To God be glory in the church.
Amen.
Not out there on my own. No man's an island.
Amen.
We ought to all work together in unity to serve the Lord. And we can get a whole lot more done. You see, what is surprising about Paul when he wrote this book, the book of Philippians, is, and he wrote it on the subject of winning. He wrote it from a prison cell.
Yes, he did.
Now, honestly, if you look at that appearance, it kind of looks like he might have lost the race. You know, here he is in jail. What can he do now? He's chained up to some poor Roman. And I say that because that poor Roman heard more preaching than he'd ever dreamed he could. He's lost his freedom. He didn't have his fellowship in person, you know, with churches. And his life wasn't very far from being taken. You know, but Paul understood that victory isn't based on our present circumstances. Victory isn't, it doesn't depend on what's going on in our life right here. Our victory is when we leave this life. That's where our victory is going to be, when we leave this life. You see, Paul was looking toward a greater goal. He was looking toward a greater prize that he wanted to attain. Philippians 3:14 says, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Yeah. He was looking at what lay in store for him later.
Yeah.
Now, I could get into this tonight, and I'm not going to, but I'll give you enough to make you do some studying. Did you know not everybody is going to live in the new city, Jerusalem? Not everybody that's saved is. Some of them going to live outside.
That's right.
You can figure that in yourself. Go read it. It's in Revelation.
Amen.
But I'm not going to get into that tonight because I don't have time to really. But listen, he was focused not on his present trials as a citizen of earth. We're here on the earth. But he wasn't focusing on that. He was focusing on what was in heaven.
Yes.
You see, he was striving for what awaited him as a citizen of heaven. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Oops. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Verse 24. 1 Corinthians 9:24 says, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. In other words, they're in control. They got self-control.
Yeah.
Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown. All these people that strive in these football games, baseball, soccer. They just stampeded a bunch of people to death in another soccer game. I'm like, 125 people trampled. They got problems. Anyway, I got to get off of soccer because I'll go on a tangent. But we, an incorruptible crown. What we're striving for in glory, in heaven, it's incorruptible. It can't be corrupted. It's not going to go away. The big bank accounts, the fancy cars, the Learjets, the diamond rings, and all of this stuff. When you leave here, oops, it ain't coming off. It'll fall.
That's right.
When you leave here, these glasses that we, some of us wear, they're going to be left laying here.
Amen.
You know what I've wanted to do a few times was lay a bunch of clothes around in there and some boots and stuff and just hide to see what somebody. You know, when the rapture happens, this stuff's going to be left behind. There's going to be diamond rings laying around. There's going to be wallets laying around. If they get mine, they ain't got much. But they'll all be, all of that. Listen, none of this junk matters.
That's right.
Yeah, we got to have it to live. We do. And food is not cheap anymore. It's getting worse and worse. But guess what? We got to have it here. But we should not put our entire life into that.
Amen.
Our lives, our goals ought to be for what we have that lays in awaiting us in heaven.
Yeah.
You see, Apostle Paul, he lived out what he preached.
He did.
He tirelessly studied and prayed and he worked and traveled from area to area, and he was doing it to impress these principles in the lives of other believers.
Yes.
They needed to see that he was out there doing these things. He strove to keep them focused on the prize so they could secure their path to victory as well.
Amen.
You see, as a result of him doing that, Paul became one of the greatest missionaries to walk the face of this earth.
Amen.
And he lived a victorious life.
Amen.
You see, history reveals that Paul ran his race for Christ. He ran it well. All the days of his life on earth, from the time he met the Lord Jesus, the powers that be, or the scholars, they tell us that his second letter, they've done all the studies and stuff, written to Timothy, it was likely just before his death. And in the pages, by the way, of that letter, and we're going to go there, go to 2 Timothy. Yes. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. He wrote this to him, and it reflects his own Christian journey. Now, he was able to claim victory in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. It says in chapter 4, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom. Preach the Word, he said. He told Timothy, he said, preach the Word. Be instant in season, out of season. Then he said, oh, and this is what people don't like. Reprove, rebuke, exhort. Yes. They don't like that. They'll tell you, all you do is rebuke. Well, wait a minute. I also reprove and I exhort.
Yeah.
Amen. I had somebody say, well, I don't ever preach about soul winning. Really? I bring up telling people about Christ every message I believe I've ever preached. I've had people say, well, you're just a gloom and doom. Oh, really? Well, the world is gloom and doom. We got a bad situation going on here. And if it ain't going to get no better. I'm hoping it slows down a bit, but listen, look what we've got to wait to look forward to. The biggest problem with those people is they're like Lot. The angels had to drag him out of Sodom. There's a lot of people when the rapture happens, ain't going to be in the moment of a twinkling of an eye. Some of them it will be. You're out of here. Some of them they're going to be going, come on. Because they want to stay here so bad. I'm just kidding, but I think that's called sarcasm. But anyway, listen, there's a lot of people that decide, well, I like it here. I got a person that is kin to me that said, oh, well, I don't want the rapture to happen yet. I've got kids I want to see grow up and grandkids. And you think that what waits for us ain't no better than what we got? That you just want to hang out here? Hang out. That's fine. But, you know, listen, the Apostle Paul lived what he preached.
Yes.
Now, look at 2 Timothy 4 again. Preach the word. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Listen, we are living in those days. More so than what they used to. We're living in those days. They don't want to hear sound doctrine. And the reason we know people don't want to hear sound doctrine is because some of them leave and some of them won't come.
That's right.
We've had, you'd be surprised how word spreads about churches, especially Baptists, that... Well, they're gloom and doom, and they preach all of this stuff, and it just, I just don't think so. You know, God wouldn't send innocent people to hell.
No.
God never sent nobody to hell. They do it themselves.
Okay.
But they don't want to hear, it spreads, things like that do. But they don't want to hear sound doctrine, but after their own lust, shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears? Oh, they like that little tickling of the ears. They like having a little tickle going on. You know, I like to take I shouldn't say this out loud, there's kids in there. I like to take a toothpick after I chew on it a while and just kind of tickle right here in my ear. It feels good. You know, I don't know why it feels good, but it feels good. I like to do, you know, and then I throw the toothpick away. I don't chew on it no more. That's what they're looking for. They're looking for when they leave church. I have a certain person, and I won't say a name, but they, in the
you guys don't know him, praise the Lord. But anyway,
well, I go to church and I just leave there feeling horrible.
Well, I know what church they're going to.
Well, they tell us everything we're doing wrong. I'm okay.
You are?
Listen, if you leave church not realizing that, hey, something needs to change, then I ain't doing what I'm supposed
Amen.
To be doing.
Amen.
If you leave church thinking, oh, I'm doing good. I just keep on lying and cheating, whatever else I feel like, dressing like some streetwalker down in, or hey, running around with your pants down here and your butt showing. Look, if I'm not telling you things that you're like, oh,
yes.
Then I'm not preaching God's word.
Right.
If I'm just telling you whatever makes you feel good, then I ain't doing right.
That's right.
And I don't need to be behind the pulpit.
Amen.
I don't think you got a lot to worry about there, but and it says here, it says, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Boy, that's what they like. They like them teachers. They shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. They'll turn away from the truth that, listen, the old world is getting worse and worse. Jesus is coming back. Get it together. Trust the Lord, because you don't want to be here in the tribulation. And I ain't real sure I'm going to say the word backs me up, but I don't think if you've ever been in a gospel service and the pastor offered you the salvation, offered you the gospel of Jesus Christ, I got a feeling if the Lord comes back, that was your last chance and there ain't nothing you can do to change it. People can write you notes all they want to. Remember I told you that we're going to be gone, honey.
Amen.
And guess what? They're going to believe a lie.
That's right.
The Antichrist is going. I had an old guy tell me, and I listened to him probably more than anybody. His name was Pat Lawson. But he told me one time, he said, son, he said, you need to realize, he said, this will affect your preaching. He said, when the rapture happens, he said, there's going to be very few Gentiles, if any, get saved. He said, because it ain't about the Gentiles.
That's right.
He said, it's all about the Jews.
Yes.
He said, it's time of Jacob's troubles. Well, guess who Jacob is? Israel.
Yep.
He said, the Gentile time is now. From the cross to the rapture is the church age. After that, he said, very few, if any, is going to get saved.
That's right.
And the more I study the Word of God, you know, the more I'm leaning toward what He told me.
Yes.
What was that? But watch thou, verse 5. In all things endure afflictions, because they're coming, if you ain't already had them. Do the work of an evangelist. Tell people about Christ. Preach the gospel, is what he's telling Timothy. Make full proof of thy ministry.
Yes.
Now Paul said, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Paul could honestly say that. Ask yourself, have you fought a good fight? Have you kept the faith? Have you finished your course yet? I don't know. But up until that part, have you fought a good fight? Have you kept the faith? We need to ask ourselves that. Because, hey, at any given time, you can leave this world.
Amen.
Then you can honestly say, well, I finished my course. But I was off track, or can you say I fought a good fight and I kept the faith? That's what you want to do. You want to say I fought a good fight and I kept the faith. Verse 8. You know, people tell me, well, I ain't worried about getting rewards. I just live just wherever. I'm going to be in heaven anyway. I agree with you. That's just stupidity gone to seed. That's exactly what it is. That's her saying. That's just stupidity. I don't want what God has offered me. That's just stupidity gone to seed.
Yes.
You had 2.5 tribes of Israel. We don't want the promised land. We want to stay over here. Boy, what a mistake that turned out to be. I got a message on that one. One of these days we'll do that. But listen. They didn't want what God had. Why would a person not want what God has for you? That's just stupidity.
It is.
It's like, listen, the Lord said, He says right here, He said, henceforth there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love His appearing. There's people don't want to see Him yet. Oh, I still got a life to live. You ain't got no life to live down here. You got nothing but trouble. According to Ecclesiastes, enjoy your youth, you little young people. Because there's going to come a day when you get up in the morning and you're like, why do I feel this way? I didn't do anything but sleep. You know, I got up the other morning, I figured out why. Brother Larry trying to kill me. He fed me beef hot dogs, and I woke up 2 days later, and I was on a cane half a day. It's called gout. Got up into my knee, and I'm like, oh. But when I first got out of bed, I'm like, good grief, what is wrong with me? I done some stuff yesterday, don't you just love it when you... This is from Brother Larry. Don't let your mind write out checks that your body can't cash. I'm mad at that. I am thankful that I'm still healthy enough I can do this and do that. But there's sometimes I go a little bit overboard, and that check bounces. And man, I get up the next morning and I'm like, oh, what did I do? And then dawns on me, oh, I know what I did. I'm thinking, man, I used to do this 4 and 5. No, I pay for it now. I thought last time I was up in Michigan, I thought, you know what? No, I was in Colorado shoeing Jimmy's horse. And I thought, well, I'll just go ahead and do the back feet too. Boy, that was a mistake. I got about halfway through and I'm thinking, you know, Jimmy, it's a good thing that you know how to finish what I've started, because I ain't sure I'm going to get done. For 2 days I hurt. Well, really it's longer than that. And I used to do, and then this was a 4 legs. I used to do 4 to 8 horses a day. I have done as many as 16 in a day. And I would go home thinking, oh, I said, all right, I got to do it now because I ain't lived real long. You know, now I'm paying for thinking that way. Listen, enjoy your youth. Why would you want to hang out any longer than the Lord wants you here?
That's right.
When the Lord's ready for me to go, hey, I'm ready to go.
Yes.
Now, I'll be up front. I'm not going to lie. I ain't just chomping at the bit to leave my wife there. But if the Lord wants to call me home tonight, she'll sling a little snot for a day or two, and then she'll be fine. But the point is whenever the Lord's ready, we ought to be ready to meet Him.
Amen.
We don't want to be ashamed to meet Him. You see, Paul knew he was nearing the end of his race. And he gave these instructions to Timothy, and they're good instructions, and we can glean from these instructions. We can go a long way with this stuff. Now, the Christian runner... And we're all a runner. Well, I didn't want to get in the race where you got saved. And by getting saved, you entered into 2 major things. You entered into a military branch. You never thought you wanted to be in the service where you are. You're in the service of the Lord. You're a Lord's soldier. And we're also in a race. We're not racing against each other, though.
Amen.
We're in the same race, going the same direction, but we're trying to reach something. You see, the Christian runner with the spiritual mind realizes that he's got to be in tune with the Lord.
Yes.
See, if we're not in tune with the Lord Jesus Christ,
All right.
and then there's a problem. You see, you've got to be in tune with the Lord, and that Jesus must work in and through him if he's going to win the race.
Amen.
And if he's going to gain any crowns. If he's going to gain any rewards from the Lord Jesus Christ, listen, he needs to be striving the proper way. If you study these races, there were things they couldn't do. We got the same deal nowadays. Go back to Philippians. We got the same deal nowadays. We got all these races, and boy, they do blood tests. And they say, well, listen here, it took an enhancement. And it may have been. And it made them perform a super amount. They were disqualified.
Yes.
See, we don't want to be disqualified in the Lord's race. We've got to do it the Lord's way,
yes,
or we're going to be disqualified.
Yes.
The Lord's laid it out there how He wants it done. You see, and we need to be careful the way we're serving. Look at chapter 2 of Philippians. Verse 12 says, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling.
Amen.
For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Do all things without murmuring and disputing, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain.
Yeah.
In other words, if I get off track one of these days, people that laid a seed in my life, and then I got saved, they want to rejoice for when I get there one day, they can say, oh wow, I had a part of that.
Thank you.
Instead of saying, oh man, how come he got so far off? I mean, you made to heaven, but there's a whole lot more than...
Come on.
Amen.
You see, everybody says, salvation's the main thing. We ain't got to worry about... I had a guy tell me one time, why don't we just all come together and we can do it in our building, and we'll just preach the gospel. I mean, that's the main thing. You ever wondered why you got women pastors? You ever wondered why you got ordained homosexuals preaching the Bible? You ever wondered why you got all these problems out there in churches? I can tell you why. It's because they got off track. The main thing is the main thing. We just got to tell everybody to get saved and leave them alone. That ain't what the commission says. The Great Commission, by the way, was given to the Lord Jesus' church and was told to go out and preach the gospel and then baptize and then disciple.
All right.
See, Robin knows the word. She got saved at some point. Somebody led her to the Lord. Amen. Now she's followed the Lord in baptism.
Amen.
Now I gave her a discipleship book because, listen, they live pretty far away. She can't be here constantly. But when she's here, she needs to hear how to grow in my Christian life.
Yes.
And if she's got questions in the book I gave her, she needs to text me and say, hey, Pastor Jim, I don't get it. Well, I can help explain it. See, she's got to grow in that.
Yes.
That's what we're to do. But too many people, they just go out there and they witness to folk and they get them saved and they chalk up another one on their little pistol. And say, yep, got another one. Where are they at? They need to be in the house of the Lord, and they need to be getting discipled in the house of the Lord. Not out there, because then we end up with ordained women pastors. Where is that in the Bible? No, it ain't. It's not there. Because they got off on different doctrines. I'm sorry, it ain't there. The Christian runner that really realizes this, they figure this out. Holding forth the word of life that I may rejoice in the day of Christ. That I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. See, that's what Paul wanted them to do. That's what I want you to do. That's what other pastors want you to do, is to hold forth the word of life, learn what the word of God says, and continue on with it and keep passing it down.
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to hurry. John 15:5, by the way, Jesus says, without me, you can't do anything.
That's right.
All these people run out here on their own and doing all that. Who are they doing it with? There's a problem. We're to do it in and through the church. Ephesians 3:21. And Ephesians 3:21 says, to God be the glory in the church. It's in the church. That's where it's supposed to be. Now, we are to exercise our spirit.
Yeah.
We do that by the Word of God. We do that by the preaching of the God, by studying the Word of God, by being under the preaching of the Word of God. That's how we do that. We exercise our spirit. Praying daily, doing daily devotions, those are important. Bodily exercise profiteth a little. I mean, it's good for you, but it profiteth a little. Because when you leave here, you ain't gonna worry about it. You're going to have a glorified body. You ain't going to... Listen, there ain't going to be no Schwarzeneggers in heaven. They ain't going to be there standing around, you know. Ain't going to be there. Look at my guns, you know. That ain't going to... All of that... It's okay to lift weights. I always worked so hard over the years, I didn't feel like going to lifting weights. I just didn't have time for it. But see, exercise in godliness.
Yeah.
But now, I want to tell you something. We can exercise physically.
Yeah.
You can overdo it.
Yeah.
Man, I've seen some guys that I'm like, you know, dude, you should have stopped at some point, because one of these days all that's going to turn to flat. You know, when you get all them big guns on you, man, you got 26-inch arms right here. One of these days, all that's going to start hanging down here. It ain't going to look near as pretty. All this beauty junk these women do, and I won't get into all of that, but they're going to have problems one day. It's called gravity. Eventually, all of that stuff wears out. We are to exercise in godliness. But, we got to be careful. Same way with godliness that we do with physical, we can do with godliness. You see, some believers are so busy dying to their self that they never came back to life again to run the race. They're so busy dying to self that they forgot what they died to self for. They fell out of the race altogether. They're over there on the sidelines. Some people get so heavenly minded that they ain't no earthly good. You see, there's a balance to all of life that we must attend to. It's a balance. God gave us common sense. And listen, we ought to use it, but not all of us always do. But we ought to use it. You see, for one, we need to do all things to the glory of God. Should I do this? Can it glorify God?
Yes.
I've had people tell me, well, you know, I've been praying about doing this. Well, here's the key. You ain't got to pray about certain things.
That's right.
Is it going to glorify God by you doing that?
Come on, man.
That'll answer the question for you.
Yes.
Is it going to answer, is it going to glorify God if I do this? And I've had young people ask, well, my pastor, I've been praying about doing this. What do you think I should go to this concert or this whatever? And I'm like, is it going to glorify God?
Mm-hmm.
Well, if it ain't, maybe I'll stay at home.
Preach.
Yes.
Preach.
Sometimes you ain't got to pray about it. God gives us common sense. We ought to use it. Is it going to glorify God if I go to some of these establishments down in Vegas on Highland, while I'm in there passing out tracts? I could use that. Of course, that never going to go over with my wife. Is it going to glorify God what I'm doing? No, it's not.
Amen.
Then I don't do it.
I
ought not to be fooling with it. You see, we got to be careful. Don't oversalt your food. It ain't good.
Amen. Amen.
My grandkids. Oh, let me do it. I can do it, Pops. I'm like, okay, go for it. And salt just comes out. And I'm like, now you're going to eat it. Well, but it's, I'm like, eat it. Because guess what? Next time they're real careful about how to... See, we need to be very careful when we're talking to people. Don't oversalt it. Let your speech be seasoned.
Yes.
Don't blind them with the light. We're the light of the world. Amen. The Lord Jesus is the light of the world. We have the Lord Jesus in our heart. We're to let that light so shine, but you don't want it so bright that they do it then.
Yeah.
They need to be able to understand what we're seeing, what we're doing. You see, Paul said, I have become all things to all. He said, I've become all things to all. Now, I ain't telling you, you need to go down here and put your short dresses on, ladies, and get you some boots with spikes, and walk up and down the street so you can witness to prostitutes. I ain't telling you to do that. I'm not telling all of us. I know some guys that got involved in some biker stuff. They went and bought them a Harley. Good excuse to buy a Harley, honey. And they even put on a leather jacket. And it said on there, Jesus, and all this stuff. All
right.
But you ain't got to go out there and get involved in the same stuff. But I'm going to be honest with you. If I was going to go witness to the Hell's Angels, I ain't walking up here in a suit and tie. I just ain't going to do it. I'd walk up here like I'm dressed now. I might even ride a Harley up there. Like when I go to rodeos, I'm not going to show up at the rodeo in a suit and tie.
That's right.
I'm going to look like them.
Yeah.
Which I do anyway. They accept that more. You can get a whole lot further with them. Most farmers and ranchers see a suit and tie coming. You know what they do? They automatically say, either it's a lawyer or it's a banker, and I don't want to talk to them. And I had an old preacher one time tell me, he said, I showed up at a guy's house one time. He said, farmer. He said, I showed up there, and he said he was working on his tractor. He said, you know what I did? He said, I took off the shirt I had because I had a t-shirt on. He said, I didn't want to get my shirt dirty. He said, I took off the shirt. He said, I got under there and started working with it.
Right.
He said, we come out of there with grease. He said, I went home. He said, the man never showed to church. He said, but the next time I went out there, he said he was bucking hay. He said, I got out there and bucked hay with him, talked with him.
Mm-hmm.
He kept being all things. Do you know the man finally got saved?
Amen.
Because he said, if you're willing to do that. Because, see, here's the problem. A lot of these preachers, they stand up here, you know the kind. They're a little bit better than I am. You know, they'll come over and they'll sit in the car and talk, or they'll sit there and talk to you, but they don't reach out and put their hand in nothing.
Oh, no.
Listen, if we're going to be out there telling people about Christ and trying to win people over, we can't go with the attitude, well, we can't get mixed up with what's going on here.
Mm.
Now, I don't mean go out there and get yourself arrested.
That's right.
Don't go down to a drug deal and find one and say, I need to talk to you guys, because when the DEA shows up, they ain't going to listen to you.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I think you know what I'm trying to tell you.
Amen.
Paul says, I have become all things to all, that I might win some to Christ. You see, that's the key. I might win some to Christ. The whole idea behind our life is for people to see Jesus in our life.
Amen.
So that hopefully they'll want what we've got.
That's it.
They'll want what we've got And when we lead them to the Lord, don't just drop the ball. We've got to disciple them so they understand what awaits them. See, one of these days I'm going to get up there and I'm going to have crowns and rewards, hopefully. That's what I'm striving for. That's what we all should be striving for. And one of these days, Jesus is going to come there in the judgment seat of Christ. He's going to say, "What do you got?" And I'll be able to hand him my jewels that I was given to me and lay them at the feet of Jesus for what he did for me.
See, it's
not to make me better. Listen, I'm already rich. When I get to heaven, I'm rich beyond what they could ever dream of. It'd make Elon Musk look poor. I've already got that. I'm in heaven.
Yes.
I'm with the Lord Jesus Christ. I've got a glorified body.
Amen.
But what am I going to give Him for what He done for me? I don't want to stand there with a bucket full of ashes, because wood, hay, and stubble burns and leaves ashes. I don't want to stand here and say, "This is how much I love you." No. I want Him to see how much I love you.
Amen.
I strived and ran the race.
Yes.
I fought a good fight.
Yes.
And I kept the faith and I finished my course. Mm-hmm. That's what we ought to be striving for. Let's stand. We're going to have an invitation. Sister.